looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone, to Light on Living, the Dating Your Diet series. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping you to find the right food and the right lifestyle. And that's why I have invited the top lifestyle coach in all of the USA, who is the author of now 10 books. So before I bring on my wonderful superhero, as I like to call him, guest, I want to share with you why it was so important for me to ask him to come on to talk about his new book titled Focus, and what the heck this has to do with your relationship with food. See, the thing is, your relationship with anything is what's going to either strengthen or weaken your results. Now, I mentioned that his book is called Focus, and really, I don't think I could have ever imagined there being so many different aspects about focus and how we can use it to strengthen how we feel even about food and everything in life. I'm really excited to ask David Essel some questions about focus and sunbeam. When focusing, can we be narrow-minded? Can we be one-sided? Is that part of being focused? Is that a good thing? How do we focus and still keep an open mind? And how do we focus but be not self-centered? So as I already spilled the beans, is David Essel online with us? See, I just have this little high-pitched excitement with him. He's a business, relationship, addiction, and recovery coach, motivational speaker, radio show host, and author. Welcome, David, to the show.
Lisa, it's so nice to be back with you. I'm excited to talk about the book and how it can positively help your listeners.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, really, when you say the word focus, you're right. Even when you start talking, what do we always say? I've got to focus. People are saying, you just focus on one thing, and you have this one thing, one theory. And let's just start with that. Yeah, like, what a perfect title, Focus, and the One Thing Theory. Can you just start there? Because that's just everybody deals with that.
Oh, absolutely. When, you know, one of the biggest mistakes people make when they're setting goals, Lisa, they get into multitasking, which means that they have several big goals they want to accomplish at the same time. So they may want to lose weight. They may want to improve a relationship or quit smoking or quit drinking or get a better job, more money. And so right away in the book, we say multitasking goals is one of the surest ways to never achieve what you want in life. And in the One Thing Theory, which, you know, I created in 1996, 22 years ago, I used to teach this multitasking approach. You know, I would have my clients as a counselor and a life coach. I'd be working with them from all over the world. And I'd say, let's pick the four big areas of life that you want to see changes in. And we'll do a little bit every week. You know, we'll do a little bit every week in order to help you get forward in life. And it worked part-time. But then in 1996, after this life-changing interview, I realized that I was misguiding myself and my clients, Lisa, because what I found at that time is this, and this is what the One Thing Theory states. The One Thing Theory says is that at any given time, there's only one major goal to go after in life. It's the one we procrastinate, denied, delayed working on. It's the one we don't want to do. But when we go after with full abandon, 100%, 5 to 6 days a week, this one goal, we will boost esteem, self-confidence, and the focus on going after just one goal will ultimately lead us to become more successful in life.
See, and that's huge because I know when I'm just kind of terrible at multitasking because we all are. But what on am I being selfish to be so narrow-minded and focused on one goal? Like, is that a possibility?
Well, let's look at, you know, major athletes in any sport. Are they, you know, there? I don't know too many athletes. And we have the Olympics coming up this week. I don't know too many athletes that can be really great and gold medalist at downhill skiing, and also in basketball.
Right. Okay.
I mean,
that makes sense.
You know, if you don't focus on one massive goal at a time, you're going to split your energies and you'll be, we call it jumping tracks, where, you know, let's say that someone has two goals. They want to lose weight and they want to make more money. So they start going after the weight loss. And they see some, you know, in the beginning, because they're all excited and they're eating clean and they're exercising daily, they see the scale moving or their clothes getting looser.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they hit the 60-day plateau. Well, if you have more than one goal on your plate, the average person is going to go, you know what, I don't really think I need to focus anymore on weight loss. It's really working. My goals are still standing for the last 30 days. I need to start getting on money.
Right.
So they jump tracks and they go to a new goal. And what we say in our book is that's the number one reason, Lisa, that people have never achieved their greatest dreams, because they continue to jump tracks.
Mm.
When the wall and you don't see results on the scale or with your clothes, when you hit the wall and you don't see more money coming in after 90 days, let's say, of working really hard, the people who are focused continue to work through it. You know, we have this amazing skier. So I'm going to go back to the Olympics, Lindsey Vonn. Lindsey Vonn is a gold medalist for the United States, downhill skiing. I don't know how many different categories she's won medals in. That woman has had like five major reconstruction surgery to her knees and I think maybe a shoulder.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
You know, the only thing that's got her to be able to compete again is focus. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's her greatest strength. And let's look at people that, you know, in our book, we talk, I share the story of Evelyn Keeling, who lost 245 pounds in her 50s, and in her 50s became a bodybuilder.
I read that. I was just like, you know what? I want to highlight that. Everybody listening, myself and you and everybody, age has nothing to do with it. I love that you said that.
Yeah. You know, When I interviewed Evelyn several times on the radio show, we become friends, you know, we talk off air. And the number one strength that she has, and the beautiful thing is, everyone has this strength. This is not a genetic gift. The number one strength she had to lose 245 pounds is focus. Now, if Evelyn wanted to lose 245 pounds and she wanted to triple her income, and she went back and forth between those two goals, she would not have achieved what she achieved today, right?
Okay, that's huge.
And, you know, and so what we, you know, when I interview her and talk to her, she hit so many plateaus on the way to 245. She got so disappointed. She got so disgusted. She went off her rail and ate food she wouldn't, you know, she wasn't supposed to eat. And then she came back on and went off and on. But she never lost her focus. And so, for your listeners, Lisa, if it's a weight loss or dropping an addiction to sugar or alcohol, or maybe it's in relationships where you really want the deepest of love, but you keep reminding yourself of how all men are dogs and all women want to be taken care of financially, you know, you're losing focus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like, it was good. That's another thing. So I'm torn because I was going to go into instant gratification, but now I just want to go into those distracting beliefs. And how do we cut through them and stay focused? Like, what is the trick to staying focused if we do have those distracting and hurtful thoughts?
Well, first of all, we want to say any type of thoughts that come up that, you know what, look how long you've been working out, or there isn't any kind of change on the scale, or look at how well you're eating and there's not a change in the scale. Or all of those thoughts of self-doubt, they happen to major athletes, to multi-trillionaires, just like you and I.
Okay.
That's abnormal. Someone who is focused, and in the book, we teach this thing called the kill technique, where when you're focused and you choose one major goal. Now, I was on TV the other day and the host asked a great question and she said, well, wait a minute. If you're focusing on one goal, does that mean you obliterate all other goals? And the answer is a great question. And I said, no, you know, you still go to work. You still take care of your kids. You know, like, I guess you could, you know, adopt them out for 10 years until you accomplish your greatest goal. But I don't recommend it. But, you know, the focus that we teach, the program we teach in the book says this. You're picking one goal that you're going to devote an hour or 2 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week. And then you go on with the rest of your life. And you take care of your career and your family, if you have a family and everything else. But what you've decided with focus is, come hell or high water, that this 1 or 2 hours a day that you're committing to weight loss or money or love or forgiveness of someone who's betrayed you or whatever it might be, that is the major focus. You're a Rottweiler on the bone. You're not going to let go of that goal. You are going to find ways. Now, I have a client that I write about in the book that lost 80 pounds in a year, and she's kept it off for over 10 years now. Mm-hmm. The only time she could exercise with 3 children was 10 at night until 11 at night.
Right.
And that was focus. You know, like when we looked at her schedule and it was slammed, we said, okay, we've got to fit this hour in. You know, and she, oh, there's no time. Well, what are you doing from 10 at night to 11? And she did it, you know, and that's focus. So what we say is, when the self-doubt comes up, when those thoughts of it should have happened by now, you're doing everything perfectly, why isn't the scale moving, how come you haven't found the love of your life, where's the new money, we say the word cancel, because we want to understand those thoughts are normal, but we're going to cancel them, and we're just going to state, I am free, and then we get back to work.
Okay,
and then another day goes by or 15 minutes go by and the doubts come up again and we just cancel them and continue to move forward. Now, another exercise we give in the book, Lisa, is about journaling, you know, writing about those thoughts and fears and insecurities, because that's important too. But when you're in the middle of the day and you don't have time to write, you need to cancel that stuff out, get focused, and keep moving forward.
I love that. And one of the things I was going to say is, when you were talking about when we're looking at our schedule, and I do love that you highlighted that it's an hour to 2 hours a day, and you're focused on that for that time, and then you go on your life. And you have given some tips, and it's a 2-tip about prioritizing and stuff. So that, it sounds like that kind of comes, you almost hand in hand. Like, you, if you want to stay focused, you have to have a list, an everyday to-do list, and you prioritize it. But you have a way of doing that list. Share with us how you did that list.
Yeah, what we do is, the night before, you know, like, so it'd be tonight, we would make a list of what our most important steps we have to do tomorrow are. And so you might have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 15 things. Then after we write, and never wait till tomorrow morning to do the list. I'll do it the night before, because when you wait till tomorrow, Lisa, you've already lost 30 to 45 minutes of your day. Mm-hmm. So take that time tonight to plan, and then once you have your action steps that you want to accomplish tomorrow, after you write them out the first time, go ahead and rewrite it in priority of the most important tasks first and the ones you don't want to do first. Because first thing in the morning, if you can knock out several of the tasks that are a pain that you don't want to do, you are going to be more focused throughout the way to the day to do everything else that needs to be accomplished.
Now, are the things that we don't want to do the thing, like, just because they're hard and they're like, why do we put off those things that we don't want to do? Because we have to do them. They're on the list for a reason. If they're a priority, right? Like, we have to do them. So they're there. They exist in our lives. Why is it so hard to do those we don't want to do first?
Well, you know, in the book, we talk about the difference between the conscious and the subconscious mind there. And so those things that you don't want to do, those are things that we usually either carry over tasks. Let's even take an exercise. So your focus is going to be losing weight, and you know that 50%, if not more, but at least 50% of your success rate is going to come if you exercise an hour a day, 6 days a week. That's pretty common. So if you can do that first thing in the morning, you are going to be much more likely to be successful than if you wait until 6 or 7 at night. Because at 6 or 7 at night, here's the subconscious mind. Because it hasn't become a pattern yet, all of a sudden, if you know you're being selfish, you should be with your partner, you should be with your kids, you should be volunteering, you're really tired, you deserve just to go home and eat a really great meal and relax in front of the TV. And That's for any goal that hasn't become a daily part of our consciousness. You know, I tell a story in the book about a guy, an entrepreneur, who's been so successful his whole life, but he never has a penny to his name.
Mm.
So I said to him, you know, one of the things we teach a course called Financial Freedom, and one of the things in the course is that everything you write or everything you spend money on, you have to write down, and you have to write, was it a want or a need? Now, I said to him that if you don't make this exercise a priority, and it's not something you've ever done before, but if you don't make it a priority and do it every day, you'll never be financially free. Because we want to see how much money that you're wasting, spending, slipping out of your pants. So many people think that financial freedom is about making more money, and that's part of it. But if you don't understand expenses, look at where you're wasting money, you could triple your income and in a year be in the same financial that you are right now. So I said to him, first thing every day, he's got to get up, and whether he uses his iPhone or an app or a piece of paper and a pen, he's got to have his list ready. With the first penny he's got to jot down what he spent it on, what the amount was, and was it a want or a need? And a want is simply something that would be nice to have, and a need is something for survival.
Oh.
Well, we got him into the. I mean, his wife. This is 10 weeks long. At the end of his 10 weeks, his wife could not believe the change in her husband. For the first time in 50 years, he was being responsible with his money. The marriage was coming together because that was such a stressor. But Lisa, we go back to this. If he didn't focus, and we had him do this 7 days a week, not 5 to 6. If he didn't doing the exercise, giving the course, his approach to money would never change.
Okay, and you know what? With that, we're going to sneak up to the but I'm going to ask you this, so everybody can know this answer. I really would love to help share with everybody what the difference is between awareness and focus. I think something's going to have to do with an action step in this answer, but I'm excited. So we'll sneak off to commercial, and we come back to continue our lovely topic of awareness and focus.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back. This is Vital Living, the Dating Your Diet series. And I'm so happy to have David Elkel here. We just are getting started, really. And before we went to commercial there, I wanted to ask David the difference between awareness and focus. And I'll tell you why, because I have a lot of people, and I do it myself. So here we go. They'll say, I know. So we know, are we focused or aware?
Oh my God! But not a lot. I'm not going to give it much, but I do want to give it a little. Okay. Without awareness, it's really hard to change anything. So without awareness, we're probably in denial, you know. And so we use denial, justification, and rationalization, which we write about in our book, Focus. We use those three tools, denial, justification, and rationalization, to not have change. So those are the antithesis of focus. The opposite of focus is we justify that our weight is okay. We rationalize that it's okay to spend on this new dress or jeans because it's on sale, for God's sake, even though we don't have the money.
I so do that.
Right? Or we deny by, you know, like wearing baggier clothes. Like, that's a great form of denial. So you don't have to really understand and look at the weight you've gained and why it's not helping. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to say something very controversial right now before I answer the rest of your question.
Oh, okay. Here's David for you.
Okay, yeah. Now, and this came up on a Montreal radio station I was on 2 weeks ago. And the woman said to me, there's an article online about one of the few obese female models who signed a major contract with a modeling agency. And in the article, this obese female model said, I love myself so much. I have accepted this is who I am. And I'm really happy. Now, that's called denial.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. We know through studies that being obese brings the same risk factors as smoking two packs of cigarettes a day.
Yeah, it's unhealthy.
Obesity brings on congestive heart failure, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart attacks, cardiac arrest, diabetes, not even talking about outrageous low self-esteem and outrageous low confidence and challenges in intimate relationships. And I'm just being brutally honest, Lisa.
Yeah. And the biggest thing about that is you don't have to love being obese. You can love yourself, but don't love being obese.
Well, and let me even go further with that. If you love yourself truly, you should be working your butt off to go from obese to overweight. That is self-love. Mm-hmm. Isn't standing in the mirror and saying, I love myself as I'm obese. That's not self-love. That's a bunch of Saturday Night Live crap. That's Stuart Smiley, you know, that's actors and that's the world of positive thinking I despise because I used to teach it. That's why I despise it so much.
Yes. Yeah.
But when I was a raging alcoholic and cocaine addict, I would stand up in front of audiences and get them to recite that we love ourselves as we are. What a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Are they aware then? Is that awareness? Or they're not aware?
No, it's
then?
Called not. I mean, listen, University of Florida a number of years ago came out and said about 6% of people who are obese have a strong genetic factor for obesity. However, that means 94% of people who are overweight or obese cannot blame genetics, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
6% have a strong. Okay. Now, they also went on to say that even if you have a strong genetic factor, you can still make changes through lifestyle choices.
Yes.
And listen, what we just talked about it a minute ago, Evelyn Keeling, in my book, Focus, 245 pounds, she was obese.
Did she love her? Did she claim to love herself when she first started, or it was because she loved herself that she was able to focus and do it?
Okay, thank you. The only time that I don't care what Evelyn says before she started really changing her diet, I will tell you this: if you are extremely overweight or obese, not actively changing your habits, there is no way that you can convince me or anyone else honestly that you love yourself.
Yeah. How to go from being denial, rationalizing your institutions, to how do they just suddenly let the bulb go and they say, hey, gee, I love myself now today and I'm going to start?
Okay. So let's go back to the question, awareness versus focus. So okay. Awareness is step one. You know, awareness is, holy crap, I'm obese. Holy crap, I'm overweight. Wow, I'm an alcoholic, or I depend on alcohol every day. wow, awareness is, for the last 10 years, I've been financially strapped, and this really sucks. Okay, that's awareness.
Right.
And so we go, okay, that's great, you're aware. If we don't do anything with that awareness, then it's an absolute waste of time to be aware.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, and that's one of the things in all the spirituality that I used to teach, Oh, my God, I am just out of myself. Every new book that
yes,
I put out.
Yes, you are.
In the book Focus, I said, I am teaching what I used to teach.
Oh, and you do. Well, you know, that's, I think, the biggest thing is there's a lot of courage to do this, but you're not going to make a bit of a difference in the 2 million people's lives that you want to if you don't stand up and say, this is not working and things have to change.
Yeah, exactly. So
it says focus and says stop dreaming and start living. Now, so I was dying to ask you this question. How long is it okay to dream for? Because we have to start with a dream. So how do we know when we've been dreaming too long and we've got to start living, or we still dream a little and put some details in there?
Well, I think that if you have a dream that if the action isn't following the day that you have the dream, then you're just living in denial, justification, and rationalization. A dream is an absolute waste of time, and it puts us in a state of illusion. Because when people dream, like, I'm going to write a book, I tell the story in this book, in the book, a guy came in, and he wanted to work with me. We teach a program on how to write a book. And so the very first day on Skype, he's sitting there and he's all excited. And I'm excited because I love my work. And I said, okay, go ahead and email me. I said, do you have an outline? He goes, oh my gosh, yes. It's totally rushed out. I'm ready to write. I said, okay, why don't you do the go ahead and email with your outline so I can look through it. And he looked at me and his eyes got really big and he goes, what? I said, send me your outline. He goes, oh no, it's right here. I go, where? And he's pointing to his head. And I said, how long have you been thinking about writing this book? And it was years and years and years.
Oh.
And I said to him, that's why it's taken so long. Like, you're not even ready right now. If you don't have it in writing, you're not, it's still a figment of your imagination.
Wow. So, that's because I have a book written and half done, and I'm like, well, it's been years too, so how do I know when it's time to give up on a goal? Or maybe that goal isn't more and maybe it's not powerful enough, or oh my goodness, you're like, oh my God, I haven't done it.
Well, let me tell you another story. So in 2000, 28 years ago, I went to speak for a large bank, and when I decided to stay for 3 weeks, and when I was there in 3 weeks, I wrote an entire book that it was my first novel or second novel, I forget, whatever it was. So I wrote this entire book. I came back. I shared it with people. People were freaking out, going, oh, my God. It's called Angel on a Surfboard, and people were freaking out, and this was in 2000. So I published, and then I got a contract to write another book with a publishing company called Hay House.
Yes.
Okay, and so Hay House calls me, and I think I was back on the mainland for maybe about 3 months and just sort of playing around, finishing touches on Angel on a Surfboard. And Hay House calls and says, we want you to write a series of books for us. I said, great, I just wrote one. They said, send it to me. I sent it. They go, no, we're not interested in that. We want you to write about something else. And so I wrote this other book for them. It's called Slow Down, The Fastest Way to Get Everything You Want.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and it was a fun book. But listen, I completed Angel on a Surfboard in 2000. I went between then and 2 years ago and wrote 3 or 4 other books before I released Angel on a Surfboard.
Okay.
Okay, now, so here's the difference, Lisa. We have a book that we've gotten part of the outline and part of everything else. It tells me one of two things. said to me that we either get highly focused and sit down a written time again, say every day I'm spending not over 2 hours on the book, because that's what we say in the book, right?
Yes.
Or need to scrap that for now and start with one that is more exciting to us.
Okay. So goal is to be exciting.
There's got to be passion to it. You know, there's got to be some huge benefit in writing a book. There's got to be something that drives you, because, you know, and actually for your listeners that might want to write a book, if they go to YouTube and Google David Cole, how to write a book, we have several tutorials up there about how to get started, how to stay focused, and how to write.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. What you just said right there as a wonderful reminder is that, okay, if that's the goal and that's what we're going to focus on, we're going to do that 1 to 2 hours a day. This is a tricky one. When you think anybody, like what you had said when Evelyn came to you and said, well, I don't have any time. And you're like, okay, what are you doing from 10 to 11 p.m.? What if somebody is so digging their heels in and saying, I don't have the time? Is that just them being stubborn and it's just they're not?
Well, there's probably some fear. You know, when people say they have a huge goal but they don't have time, it's just an excuse. So I say to someone, you know, how much time do you get for lunch? I get an hour, okay? Eat in 10 minutes and the other 50 minutes to work on your goal.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, don't tell me you don't have time. You know, that's just an excuse. And going back to, you know, my client Tracy, she had 3 kids and she had a marriage that was in hell.
Oh.
And she found a way with a terrible marriage and racing 3 kids all over the place, and she worked 2 jobs. So listen to this. She's in a terrible marriage. She's got 3 kids to take care of. She's working 2 jobs, and she wants to lose 80 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Okay. And I put that story in the book because for all of us to say, I really want to accomplish fill in the blank, you're going to have to sacrifice. There's going to be something. You know, another story I write about in the focus is a client that came to me, and her goal at first was get me to validate that her husband was an idiot and she should divorce him. Which, if she was with us on the phone right now, she'd be laughing as hard as I am. I'll never forget that first day. And
well, she's very honest
so
about
worked...
that.
What'd you say?
It was very honest about that.
Oh, extremely, Lisa, you know, and so we worked together for, I don't know, 8 weeks, and she came to the conclusion that, you know, it just wasn't her husband that was a jerk. She was being a jerk, too.
Aww, cute.
And so she got really humble, and she changed, and the marriage, like, blossomed. It was awesome. And then she comes back to me and said, okay, with the focus that you helped me with, I was able to turn my marriage around. Now I have another goal. And I said, okay, what's that? And this is one of the biggest goals that you'll ever hear. And she said, I want to become one with God.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
Wow. Right?
Yeah.
And so I asked her, I gave her several weeks of writing exercises. What would that end result look like? And how much time do you think you have to put in? And what exercises would you do on a daily basis to become one with God? So she got all the work done, and then I said to her one day, just like with Tracy, okay, we need to pick an hour a day that you're going to devote to this goal to become one with God. And she looked at me and she said, I'm a full-time mom. I work full-time. You know I'm working on my marriage still. We're doing great. I don't have time. And we looked at the calendar, and guess what? From 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., she was sleeping.
you stole from her sleep. Oh, God.
Now, the great news is that when she looked at me and she said, there's no way I could do that, she stopped and she said, oh, my gosh, look at my excuse already.
Aww.
And Lisa, it was beautiful. And she devoted, and this was God probably 12 years ago, I worked with her. And every morning from 5 to 6 is her devotion to do her work with God.
No, and he probably lets her do that in bed, so that's hopefully good. No.
That's so cute.
I was going to we're talking about the dream. We're in dream, and like you said, we got to take action. I'm going to call this word gossip, for lack of a better word here. should we be reaching outward, not just like, and I'm not saying to a coach, because I love coaches and believe in them, but should we be reaching it to friends or family, or are we just gossiping at that time and procrastinating?
Well, tell me, Elisa, again, when you say, use the word gossip, what do you mean by that regarding going after a dream?
Okay, so say I come up with this idea, and I know somebody else is doing that dream, and I think, oh, I want that. That's the dream I want. I want goal. And so I tell my best friend that I want to do it, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then I tell the neighbors that I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. And am I building up steam, or am I just now talking about it to talk about it, or am I trying to figure out if I really want this dream?
Okay, so the good side, the upside of sharing your dream with many people is that it's additional accountability. You know, now when you run into the neighbor and they say, hey, how are you doing with that book, or how are you doing with your weight loss, or how are you doing with finding that man of your dreams, or how are you doing, you know, like there's a good side to that. There's a really good side. It's called accountability. So I love that. However, if you're doing it to try to get validated that it's a good idea, if you're doing it because you want to impress people, but you're not doing any work, then it's an absolute waste of time. And it's just like, you know, if you have a dream and you've had the dream for 6 months or 6 years and you haven't put any focused effort to it, Lisa, to me, it's a waste of time. Like a lot of people will use excuses. Well, I guess I just wasn't ready to write. You know what? Most of us are never ready to write. You have to start writing. When I started writing, I have no background, and you know I have, this is our 10th book, and two of the ones before went number one bestseller. I have no background in journalism. I don't have any background in literature, in writing of any type. And I remember it was in the late 80s. I was living on an island in Florida called Sanibel Island. And in the early part of my career, I was in the world of fitness and sports psychology. And the local newspaper came and said they wanted me to write an article on fitness tips or something. And I didn't know what the heck to do, but I saw it as an opportunity. And I said, okay. And I didn't even ask them, why me? You know, I just wrote the article. And then a month later, they came back and said, hey, we really like that. Would you write another one? And then all of a sudden, I'm writing a monthly column.
Oh, David, our commercials are getting chop us off of. We're going to come back to your article just after these messages.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this, she even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Jane David, I'm jumping back into that story because here you are. You're not a writer. You're not a journalist. You've never done anything. You've been asked to write articles. They're now loved, and they've come back to ask for more.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing, you know. So, I continued to write, and then obviously as I wrote, I became better as a writer. And then eventually people started telling me you could write a book, which I poo-pooed because I said, who the hell am I to write a book? You know, I don't have any background. I don't even know. And Lisa, I want to stop right here for a second and offer something to your listeners.
Okay, yay.
Okay. As you're listening to us and you know that you want to become more focused to lose the weight or make the money or drop the addiction or move into a new career or find deep love, I would like to offer all of Lisa's listeners a free 15-minute phone counseling session.
Wow.
Where, yeah, I can help you start the process in getting super focused and super organized on accomplishing your specific goal. And all you have to do as a listener of Lisa's show, just go to our website, which is talkdavid.com, TALKdavid.com. At the Contact Us button, send us an email and just say, I was listening to David on Lisa's show, and I want to have a free 15-minute phone counseling session in my office. We'll set it up at no charge whatsoever.
Wow.
Okay.
And 15 minutes with you is honestly, I can tell everybody right now, you're listening to him right now, you would tell that you just power through and can really help people identify what has been stopping them and get them on track.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've been doing this for 28 years as a counselor and coach, so I better be fairly good at it. Or I better get into a new profession, Lisa.
Right, that's focus. That's called focus. 28 years and focus. And the biggest thing, too, is people can see. We just said that you're on – this is the 10th book. So – and we just heard a little bit of the background story about the first book, second and third, with Hay House and everything. But if you weren't focused and didn't stay, like the first one, the Angel Surfer – oh, my goodness. Was it Angel Surfer, which is a great, great fun title. If you weren't focused, if we were looking for instant gratification and we failed over time, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be helping all these people.
No, and, you know, and we have failed a ton. And that's – I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, and by the way, when you go to the website, you can also read the free preview of our brand-new book, Focus. You can read a bunch of pages at no charge there. But, Lisa, I have failed so much in life. You know, I've had books rejected. I took a complete year off to write a book for a publisher, and, you know, and when I got done writing it and sent it in, they rejected it 100%.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's actually really important. I think we all forget about that. I know that if one little thing fails or one little thing screws up wrong, I get so heartbroken, honestly, that I just don't want to be hurt again. So, you know, you don't want to do it again, but you can't do that.
No, and it's the same thing with love, and it's the same thing with attempt number 78 for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, coming up against the wall, you're going to learn something. When you fail, you're going to learn. Hopefully we take those teachings into the future. But when we look at any of the great – go back to Lindsey Vonn, the great Olympic downhill skier.
Yeah.
You know, like, if let her first serious knee injury stop her from skiing, she's gone through 5 reconstructive surgeries and she's still an Olympic skier. You know, like we need to look at these people going back, you know, this athlete, because I come from the world of athletics. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, was cut from his high school freshman basketball team. You know, there's another one, Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
He did his first substantial amount of money until he was 68 years of age.
I know. And see, people, that's, again, back to the age. And one thing I think that's going to help everybody realize this, and I'm excited to ask you about this, is what will really truly carry us through those failures, through the, oh, my gosh, I'm too old or I haven't done this, is something that you call profound love. And I would love for you to share what profound love is and explain the scale that you have, the 1 to 10 scale.
Yeah. So the first profound self is we'll start with that. Profound self-love are people listening right now that are making a decision as you and I talk that even though they're frustrated with their relationship or their weight loss that isn't coming on or the money that they're not making or whatever it might be, that they are going to pick up their pace and they're going to walk through walls to accomplish their goal. That is profound self-love. I will not be denied to achieve this massive goal that is going to radically change my life. That is profound self-love. I don't give a crap about your affirmation. I don't give a crap about you standing in the mirror because some spiritual guru told you that you're a child of God and that you deserve. You don't deserve a damn thing that you don't work for, Lisa. You, me, the whole world. If you want something huge, you're going to have to walk through walls. If you want a mediocre life like 90% of the world or more accepts a mediocre life, well, that's your choice. But if you want something substantial, you are going to have to walk through walls. That's focus, and that is profound self-love.
Wow. Wow. And I wanted to jump back into the deserving part after, but I'm going to let you continue on profound love now.
So then we look at, okay, well, what is profound love with another? And we have a scale you mentioned, and we created it 20 years ago to help my clients understand there are different forms of love, and the scale is 1 to 10. 1 is the most dysfunctional form of love known to man, and that's physical and emotional abuse. You can be in a relationship with someone who emotionally and physically abuses you, and it is a form of love. It is highly dysfunctional. It is extremely unhealthy. But those people that deliver that kind of love, and those people who receive it and stay in that kind of love, are usually trained from a very young age by seeing this in their environment, and they're just repeating what they saw. And then we go to 10, which is unconditional love in a relationship, which this might sound some strange to some people because, you know, I'm doing this work for so long. And again, 20 years ago, I would have had a different answer. I honestly don't know if unconditional love is a reality in relationships between two adults.
Okay.
Really don't. It's so rare. Now, I have seen and helped people experience unconditional love with a child. I have seen people experience unconditional love with a dog. I have seen a lot of different forms of unconditional love with people like Mother Teresa that unconditionally love lepers and the AIDS patients that she worked with.
Yeah.
But in an intimate relationship, it's extremely rare. If it's at all possible, I don't know. And if it is possible, it's outrageously rare.
Right.
Now, between 1 and 10, and the reason we put the scale in the book, we describe it so people can read the book. They can look at the love scale and go, oh, my gosh, I'm a 2 or a 3 or a 4. The very first level of profound love in a relationship that's healthy, Lisa, is level 5. And that's where there is an intense, deep friendship and respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first stage of profound love between two people, is that they respect each other and they really like them as their friend. Now, a lot of people say, oh, my God, that's me. I'm there. But here's a lot of the catches. If you look at level 4 is where we gossip behind our partner's back.
Mm-hmm.
Level 4 is where we do passive-aggressive behavior. So we're angry at our partner, and we normally bring them coffee in the morning, but we're not going to today. And we're going to make up an excuse. You know, I was late for work. I couldn't bring you coffee. You know, we text them as we race out the door, pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's level 4. That's not even a healthy level yet. You know, level 3 would be where we have emotional affairs, where at work or with our friends of the opposite sex, we tell them things about our relationship that if our partner was there, we would never have the strength to say.
Right.
So, you know, like when people say, oh, I'm a 5 or a 6 or a 7, and then I go, okay, do you ever do this? And I go, well, yeah. Okay, do you do this? Oh, yeah. Do you do this? Well, yeah. Well, guess what? You're a 4 or a 3, baby.
Yeah, you have really identified some like, I'm a life coach, so I get to hear a lot of things as well. I mean, I've been in relationships as well, and, you know, you know how that feels when you're in a relationship that's a 2, 3, 4, and a 5, and all those things. And I just, for fun, what would a 6 and 7 look like?
Okay, well, in 6, we take friendship and respect, and we add a deep intimacy.
Oh.
So there's lust, there's desire, you know. And in a five, the sexuality, the intimacy isn't as important. And, you know, like some people say, well, why would you be in a relationship with someone where intimacy or lust wasn't important? Say, well, there are certain people that they're just not geared where that's important to them. And so they need to find someone else and create a very respectful, loving friendship relationship where sex, maybe it happens once a month, maybe it happens once a 6 months. That big of a deal to either.
Right.
As we go to scale, 6 and 7, the intimacy becomes bigger. You know, when we get 7 and 8, we're looking at, I want you to be super successful in life. How can I support your dreams and goals? How can I be a ladder that you climb up to achieve your goals? And then 9 is really wild, Lisa. 9 is where we say, you know what? Your dreams are my dreams. I'm going to actually be in your corner. And for the next 2, 4, 6 years, I am openly going to say, let's put all of our combined effort into you getting what you want. And then I'll go after my goals later.
Wow, that is. I love the word you said, wild, because some people think, I can't even imagine, or I think I would do that, but you know, we're not there yet. And does somebody, how does one move up or down the scale? Does it just exist? Like you just, people meet another person and then they go, oh, look at us. We're already a 7, or wow, we're already a 2. Can they move from a 2 to a 7 and up and down?
Yeah, it takes outrageous effort. So the very first thing we do is when you look at the scale in the book, you give yourself an honest appraisal of where you've been in your current relationships and in your past relationships. Like, really just give yourself an evaluation. You know, if you're codependent, if you allow people to do things to you that aren't that kind and you stay in relationship, then you're a 4. And until you stop doing the things that you are a 3 or a 4 at, you could never move to a 5. So in other words, going back to the whole of positive thinking and I love myself and all that nonsense, is that you can't move up the scale until you're willing to stop some of the habits that keeps you at a 4, 3, 2, or 1. So let's say that someone's listening right now and they go, well, you know, at work, there is this guy or this woman that I do go to them occasionally and say, you wouldn't believe what a jerk my husband or wife is. So step one to move from a 3 up to the 4 would be you would have to stop. And that's called an emotional affair, by the way.
Yes, yes.
You would have to stop sharing intimate stuff about your partner with anyone other than a professional.
Right. I love like, that.
You know, like that would be the first step up to the next level for people who struggle with that.
And I think that's a huge respect thing. And so also, and I just want to let everybody know too, I can attest this, when we start doing something like that in one area of our lives, we do it in all other areas of our lives. So our food improves and our sleep improves and our habits and our choices, like all choices improve as we find that love scale.
Oh my God, Lisa, I'm so glad you said that, because that's also true when you go after and you read our one thing theory with goal achievement. When you start going after that one goal today that you'd rather not go after, so you eliminate sugar, unless you drink a lot of alcohol on a daily basis, you can actually eliminate alcohol by yourself. Now, if you drink more than 4 drinks a day, you should really work with a physician or a medical staff so that you don't go through withdrawals and potentially a convulsion.
Yes.
But you know, what we say with the one thing theory is when you go after that one goal that you'd rather not go after, the whole rest of your life improves, just like what you said with the love scale, Lisa.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. And with people who want to do, let's everybody climb the love scale and with focus. You got to get focused to climb the love scale. So if I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get a hold of you, I'm pretty sure they do. But what are the steps people should do right now to start getting focused and involving you in their life that way?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to grab a book. And, you know, the books are only $9.95. We keep them very inexpensive. And you can get the Kindle version at $4.95. But I think step number one, if you want to really prove that you love yourself and you're ready to rock, go to talkdavid.com, send us an email, and let my office set you and I up with a free 15-minute phone counseling session.
Yes, thank you for reminding that. For everybody, this like 15 minutes with David to help us is such a gift. Thank you so much, first of all. So, yes, everybody set that up now.
It really should, and it's talkdavid.com. Really easy to remember, talkdavid.com. And grab the book. because there's so many cool stories. I mean, I shared five or six with you today, Lisa, but there's so many cool stories of people when they got hyper-focused, how they were able to radically change their life. And the book, we destroy myth. We continue to destroy all the myths out there about achievement and goals and positive thinking and all that stuff. But we give you something even more important. That is, we give you a step-by-step guide on how to radically change your life. It's a book of hope, and it's really worthwhile. You deserve it, and that's an act of self-love. To read books like this, that's an act of self-love.
Well, David, this is an incredible reminder. It's incredible advice. I'm always so grateful and honored to have you on the show, and you're full of just joy and bubbliness and ready to go take on the world. So I want to thank you so much for being yet again another guest, and everybody has to get your book Focus.
Yes. Oh, Lisa, thank you. I love being with you. I have so much fun myself. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and we'll have you on again, I know, shortly. Okay, then. Thank you so much, David. Hi, everyone.